You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Punt Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Great, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello and a warm welcome along to this midweek edition of the Punt Podcast. We're looking ahead to some FA Cup third round replays on this edition. We've got the televised fixture coming up on Tuesday night at the King Power, Leicester versus Fleetwood, and we'll tackle Chelsea versus Norwich as well a little bit later on in the podcast. Sam Norris here and presents his chair this week, and Dave Kellner is the man tasked with finding winners on what looks a difficult bill of FA Cup replays. How are you, DK?
I'm glad you qualified it with difficult, because it does look tough. I'm very well. I'm still recovering from the match at Anfield on Sunday afternoon, which was one of the best Premier League matches I've ever seen, must say. It was the best we've seen this season. I thought Liverpool were superb in the game. Jurgen Klopp spoke openly about how he admired their pressing. And Jurgen Klopp, when he was at Mainz and Dortmund, his philosophy was the gegenpress, to press high up the field. But he rarely comes out and really congratulates his team for how they've done that. He did after Sunday's match, and it was evident they run, in terms of averages, a further distance collectively than they'd done all season. They just outworked Manchester City. So I thought it was an exceptional performance, and it was a stunning game of football.
Yeah, seldom does a big game like that actually live up to the build hype, but that one most certainly did. Do you think, in a little way, you talked about the tactics employed there, they're better off without Felipe Coutinho, because he isn't that pressing type of player. He isn't going to do the hard yards as such. He does the flair bits and pieces, but he's not always going to be the man who's pressing throughout the game. Are they, in some ways, in that respect, slightly better off without Coutinho? I'm not saying overall that they are, because he's a superb player, but He was never going to be.
You can feel me scowling in the studio, can't you? Here, I agree to some extent. Yeah. Oxlade-Chamberlain was superb in the match, played brilliantly, and I think it's slightly unfair to say that about Coutinho, because he generally has a fantastic work ethic as well, but maybe physically Oxlade-Chamberlain is stronger than Coutinho, but I think any team that loses Felipe Coutinho in the long run will feel the effect. On Sunday, it made no difference, because Roberto Firmino was outstanding. Sadio Mane had one of his best games this season. Mohamed Salah scored again. So I think Liverpool, in terms of their starting lineup, they have the ability to cope with the loss of Coutinho. It might hit them further down the line when they have injury problems.
Yeah.
Adam Lallana has come back, and he featured for a few moments at the end of that match. But you can't replace a player of Coutinho's ability in the long run.
Are Liverpool the second best team in the division? The table won't reflect that, but in terms of how exciting they are to watch, the capabilities they've got in the squad,
it almost reflects that, doesn't it? They're only a few points behind Manchester United now in the league. I think when they're on Liverpool, they are the second best side in the country behind Manchester City. It's just whether or not they can maintain that consistency. And that's been the problem throughout with Liverpool. They'll end up travelling to Huddersfield and getting beaten or drawing. It's Manchester City have managed to churn out those high-level performances throughout the season. It's whether or not we know that Liverpool from last year's campaign have that exceptional record against the top six, and Jurgen Klopp sets them up brilliantly against the best sides in the league. It's maintaining that high level against some of the weaker opposition that will tell. I think one thing that was interesting in that game was afterwards, people facetiously said, is that the end of Manchester City?
Yeah.
They have got a few problems that they've got to deal with. Fabian Delph was exposed early on in that match before he went off with his injury. Liverpool clearly had a game plan set out to attack him at left back. Pep Guardiola doesn't fully trust Danilo in that position without Benjamin Mendy there as well. That's a cause for concern for Manchester City at this moment in time. And I don't think we'll see Sergio Aguero at the club next year. He doesn't fit in with what Guardiola wants to do. He would like a Roberto Firmino in that position.
Yep.
as a false number nine, someone that's going to work as hard outside the box as he does inside. Aguero is not that man. He wants to occasionally run the channels, and he's good with the ball at his feet, but he's not going to work in the way Roberto Firmino did. And another cause for concern for City is John Stones. I know that he's had a brilliant season in the main, and he's not been critiqued as much as he has in previous campaigns, but he's made three individual defensive errors in recent weeks, which Guardiola will have to work on with him in his one-on-one coaching sessions. But having started the season so solidly, it's come back to haunt him a little bit. He should not be outmuscled by Roberto Firmino in that position. I think he, at the moment, he thought he was going to get to that ball and then feigned. And by that time, he was off balance and he allowed Roberto Firmino to get in. And Firmino finished it deftly over Edison. But I think that there's a couple of areas which Guardiola will have to address in the forthcoming weeks.
Okay. Interesting stuff going forward then. Let's take a look at the FA Cup replays then this week. And the televising gods have picked out two matches that finished 0-0 the first time around. Beginning with Leicester versus Fleetwood coming up at 7:45 kickoff on Tuesday at the King Power. Leicester are 130 on for this one. The draw is 4-1. Fleetwood are in the betting at 10-1. A whole host of enhanced odds ahead of this one. A couple of those including Jamie Vardy, of course. Jamie Vardy to score two or more goals in 90 minutes was 14-5. That's now gone out to 7-2. Is one of four enhanced odds that we've got currently on the console. And I suppose the reason why this first game was televised is because it was billed as the homecoming for Jamie Vardy going back to Fleetwood Town. Didn't quite pan out that way in the first leg. And then the 90 minutes that followed that were a little bit drab. I say the first leg, the original running of this game. 0-0 in the first running. What do you think for the replay?
It was. That was the narrative, wasn't it? Yes. Jamie Vardy going back to his former club. I mean, he got 31 goals in 36 games in his sole season with Fleetwood Town. And unfortunately, because he had a groin injury, didn't appear in that match. And it's difficult to assess. I thought coming into the competition, this was one that Claude Puel would target because Leicester City safely ensconced mid-table, eighth position in the league now, chasing down Burnley and Arsenal, I suppose, for that European spot in the Europa League. But this was an opportunity for silverware in my mind. But even though Vardy didn't play because he was out with a groin injury, he made eight changes from the 11 that started the game in the win against Huddersfield Town in that first match, which was surprising to me away from home against Fleetwood. After the match, Uwe Rosler, the Fleetwood manager, said that they're a young organisation, Fleetwood, and that was the biggest game in their history. And Leicester treated it poorly, in all honesty, given Puel made so many changes. And they could have edged that game at the end, Fleetwood. It's whether or not, having put everything into that first tie, they've got anything in reserve for this game at the King Power. Subsequently, they've come out and they've beaten Bury in the EFL Trophy and then won at Southend United by 2-1. So they've maintained that good form they came into the game against Leicester with. And they're in 11th position, so you'd expect them to... They're Wilfield, their strongest side, obviously Fleetwood. Just all depends what side Puel decides to put out here, because he made so many changes for that first match. If he plays the side that gallantly picked up a point against Chelsea at the weekend. They will win comprehensively, Leicester City. There's no doubt about that at all. Jamie Vardy and Riyad Mahrez caused Chelsea's back three of Rudiger, Cahill and Azpilicueta all sorts of problems in the opening half hour. They went down to 10 men when Chilwell got sent off in the 68th minute of that game and still held Chelsea. That's maybe down to Chelsea's shortcomings rather than Leicester's quality. But I think Leicester have really started to ramp it up in recent weeks with that 3-0 win against Huddersfield. They went to Liverpool, only got beaten 2-1 in the entertaining game where they took the lead and Salah scored twice. If he plays a strong side, they will win easily, Leicester. I think he'll play... I think he'll still play a shadow side, weirdly. And if he does that, it will be tight. So I'll go Leicester to edge the game. Leicester by the odd goal. So I'm looking at Leicester to win and under 2.5 goals in this game at 11-5. I don't see Fleetwood scoring in the match, but Leicester to edge it 1-0 or 2-0, given that at this moment in time, we're recording this early Tuesday morning, I expect Puel to still make changes looking ahead to the game at the weekend against Watford.
Yeah, I think I'd wholeheartedly agree with that. It's an odd thing when these mid-table sides don't take the FA Cup as seriously as they perhaps should do, because, as you say, there's no threat of relegation. Realistically, they're not going to get in the top six. Why would you rest your players for a battle to finish ninth in the league? It perplexes me every season.
Yeah,
I think
you get the extra bonus of like £2 million, don't you, for league position finish? But yeah, it's just weird. I don't know why. Given that the five teams at the top of the league have got through to the knockout stages of the Champions League, and they are likely to devalue the competition by fielding weaker sides, that offers the opportunity of teams from seventh downwards to win a major trophy. And Puel decided not to play his first string team in that game against Fleetwood. Maybe he'll ring the changes here. Jamie Vardy should play in this match. He will be desperate to appear in the game. And given that he came back from that slight groin problem against Chelsea at the weekend, he should be fit and raring to go here. And he'll want game time as well. So I think Vardy will start. So that makes that enhanced odds offer of Vardy to score two or more in the match interesting. Enhanced from 14-5 to 7-2. And if he does start, I think 12-5 is a fine price for him to open the scoring as well.
On to Wednesday night's televised replay then, coming up at 7:45 at Stamford Bridge, where Chelsea play host to Championship Norwich. It's 1-4 about Chelsea, 5-1 the draw here, and 10-1 for Norwich. This is another fixture that finished at 0-0 the first time around. And Norwich were pretty impressive, DK. For all that Chelsea obviously disappointed, they were expected to win that match at Carrow Road. You had to have your eye taken by the performance that Norwich put in.
They were very good. I mean, you look at Norwich's recent form, they're unbeaten in their last five now. Following that 0-0 draw at Carrow Road, where they were the better of the two sides, they went on to win 1-0 against Bristol City. So that is no mean feat. I mean, that was a very good performance at the weekend. Away from home against a side that's fifth in the division. So that was good. But I think it's indicative of the way Chelsea have struggled recently that they were allowed to play football at Carrow Road against this Chelsea side. And taking Chelsea at 1-4, given their recent form, is fraught with danger. I think there will be, again, changes made in this match by Antonio Conte. They've got a date with Brighton. That match is away from home on Saturday afternoon, so that's a very quick turnaround, really. They've only got 2 days in terms of a rest period. So I think we're going to see a very, very different Chelsea side to the one we'll see at the weekend. In the first leg, he went with Drinkwater and Bakayoko in the centre of midfield, Zappa Costa and Kennedy, who aren't regulars in the Chelsea starting lineup. He rested both Alvaro Morata and Eden Hazard and played with Michy Batshuayi up front. His tenure at Chelsea could be coming to an end as well. There were rumours that he might be leaving in this January transfer window. But Chelsea have drawn their last three games 0-0. I mean, they followed that FA Cup third round meeting with Norwich with a 0-0 draw against Arsenal in what was one of the worst games of the season. And then against Leicester City, 10-man Leicester City for the last 20 minutes, couldn't break them down. Morata's a player that is very low on confidence at the moment. I'd still be looking at Michy Batshuayi. He's got a really good record in this in this competition. He's 11-4 to score first in the game. But I've got similar sentiments to the Leicester game here. I see this being a low-scoring encounter. Chelsea to win and under 2.5 goals is 12-5. And I'd be tempted to play Norwich plus 2 on the handicap at a shade of odds on at 17-20 as well. Chelsea are just devoid of any confidence, devoid of any ideas at the moment. They look like a shadow of the side from last year. And you think about the way N'Golo Kante in his time at Leicester in that championship winning season 2 years ago and the Chelsea winning campaign last year was that destroyer in midfield. No one's talking about N'Golo Kante at the moment, are they? His form has dipped considerably. So I think this might be difficult for Chelsea against the Norwich side with their tails up. I can see it being low scoring. Look at the head-to-heads. I know some people don't like this given we've got completely different teams and different scenarios here. But Chelsea have won 7 of their last 8 when they've hosted Norwich at Stamford Bridge in all competitions. Last time they lost at home to Norwich was back in October 1993. Ruul Fox and Chris Sutton scored on that occasion. And they failed to score Norwich in 6 of their last 8 visits to Chelsea, scoring just twice and conceding 22 times in those 8 matches. And they've actually lost each of their last 5 FA Cup replays away from home as well, which I think is interesting. The last time they won an FA Cup replay on the road was back in 1987 against Huddersfield Town. I don't see Norwich scoring in this game necessarily. I think if I was going to have a correct score in the match, I'd go Chelsea 1-0 at 13-2.
Okay. Chelsea to win the match by a single goal then, or to win 1-0 is the recommendation for Dave in that one. 13-2, the price on offer. We haven't just got those two televised games. There is a raft of FA Cup replays coming up this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. You can check out all the betting on the William Hill website ahead of all that. Do you have a favourite bet, Dave, for the two that we've just looked at there?
If Vardy starts, I think he'll score.
Okay.
But I like Leicester to win and under 2.5 goals in the game as my best bet, I think. Could be tight. I think Puel will make changes. Again, team news is vitally important here. And it will affect the market in that last hour. I've talked to Andy Excel on the podcast about this before. That's when they will see heavy volumes of cash. When the team news is announced, both nights, 6:45, you'll see major moves in the market. And I expect that again. So if you can beat the traders to the punch, you might be able to sniff out some value. But 11-5, Leicester to win and under 2.5 would be the best bet sitting here right now talking to you this, about these two matches on midday on a Tuesday.
Okay, good stuff. Do check out all of the betting on those FA Cup replays on the William Hill website. My thanks to Dave for joining me on the podcast today. Thank you for listening to The Punt, and we'll return once more on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.